I'm going to be directing some questions to our leaders and our farmers who are over in China right now, and then we'll open up for some questions at the end of just offering you their first impressions. So please hold your questions till the end, and then make sure that when you do pose your questions, you identify yourself so we know who's off today. So really, we want to say good morning. It's actually good evening for our friends in China because they are nearing the end of their day as they're 13 hours ahead. And as I said, this is Heather Lilienthal. I am the communications manager at the Iowa Soybean Association, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us for an update of some of the activities and information that's been gathered by our group of farmers and leaders in China. The purpose of this trip, and it's become an annual journey for the Iowa Soybean Association and its members, is to develop those relationships and the customer preference with current and potential buyers and users of Iowa and U.S. soybean products. And the trip has been planned, funded, and implemented by the Iowa Soybean Association. So I'd like to begin our international reporting with some comments from Kirk Leeds, who is the Iowa Soybean Association Chief Executive Officer. So, Kirk, hopefully you can hear us. And how has this trip differed from your previous visits, Kirk?
Well, thank you, Heather. Good evening and good morning back in Iowa. It's good to be with you. We are currently in Shenzhen, China, which is in the southern part of China. If you find Hong Kong on the map, we're kind of across the bay, if you will, from Hong Kong. We've had an interesting trip. Certainly, we continue to visit some key customers and some old friends, and met with some new, what we hope will be, potential customers for Iowa soybean farmers. Your question was, how is this trip different? Well, Heather, besides the fact that many of us got sick yesterday and are still recovering, which is the first time in my, a dozen-plus trips to China that we've had a touch of illness go through our group, but we're doing fine. We're on the road to recovery, and we're moving forward. But beyond that, the trip really hasn't been that much different than previous. We've continued to see very, very strong demand for the growth in the livestock production across China. Of course, when you have an increase in livestock production, one of those feed ingredients that they need is soybean meal from soybeans, and that demand remains very, very strong. As we've met with industry officials and private sector feed millers, we've noted continued growth in expected demand for pork, poultry, and aquaculture. We continue to hear a lot of optimism about that growth, even with all of the stories about an economic slowdown in China. Many of them report expected growth of 5 to 8% annually in livestock production. The other thing that's probably a bit different, of course, is we arrived last weekend just after President Xi was moved in his new position. I think everybody on the phones realizes that Vice President Xi visited Iowa last year, and so he was officially sworn in as president. The business community, particularly that we've talked to, expresses a great deal of optimism about this new leadership team. They seem very supportive of President Xi and Mr. Li as well. They think about some reforms in the economy, as well as an overall friendly business approach by the incoming President Chopin. So it's been a good trip, but nothing radically different. But again, just the fact there's a strong demand, Heather, we remain very, very optimistic about the growth. And we'll have some numbers for you here after a bit as well from other folks. But a good trip. Continue to hear about great demand.
And has anything, I know aquaculture is one of those areas that you folks visited in the last day or so, and that represents a pretty sizable opportunity for soybean sales and those kinds of things. Did you learn anything new coming out of that industry?
Hi, Heather. This is Grant Kimberly, Director of Market Development. I'll try to address that question. We were able to meet with some companies who are heavily engaged in the aquaculture sector here in southern China and in the feed sector as well. And in, just in general, I'll give out some of these facts and figures on aquaculture. What we know, our best estimates, and based off the comments from industry sources, is that global aquaculture demand is currently utilizing about 480 million bushels worth of soybeans. And if you look at over the next couple years, by 2015, the projections are for global aquaculture demand growth for soybeans to increase to over 680 million bushels of soybeans. And out of that total, about 75% of the world's aquaculture production occurs in China. So China is the epicenter of aquaculture production. And that's another big factor in why we continue to see year over year growth of soybean demand in China, in addition to all the other major livestock sectors.
Wonderful. And that we'll kind of keep moving down the line here, so we'll have time for questions. And I wanted to remind everyone that you can also find a blog that is documenting the trip, and it's www.iasoybeans.com/China-blog-2013. And Ken Root is traveling with the group and has been documenting their visits and kind of some cultural perceptions as well. So now we're going to move on to another one of our leaders, Brian Kemp, who is a farmer from Sibley. He's president-elect of the Iowa Soybean Association, and Brian is making his first trip to China. So, Brian, what are your thoughts as you see this country for the first time, and how important are the face-to-face interactions that you're making in terms of trade relations?
Well, Heather, initial thoughts I had was it as we left departed the airplane in central China, there was kind of a sulfur haze over the land and a sulfur odor. Certainly hard to ignore that. Another very important issue over here, particularly currently, there's a story in the media about some dead diseased hogs that farmers had just dumped into the river to dispose of in an effort to maybe avoid a eradication program here in China. Unfortunately, this is a river that Shanghai uses for a portion of the public water supply. And since then, that's kind of put a focus on environmental issues. There have been a number of stories in the Chinese television media, and I've seen a couple of different stories in the print media while I'm here. So I think that there is a real concern about the environment, and certainly would expect that they will be addressing that in the future. As far as relationships, I continue to be amazed at the high regard that Iowa producers are held in as we visit with some of our buyers. Face-to-face relationships are extremely important as we try to expand our markets. As an Iowa farmer, I really appreciate it when Chinese buyers travel to America and take time to learn about my operation. It works the same way as we travel around China. I think that our Chinese buyers find that very important that we take time out of our busy schedules to learn more about their operations here in China.
Wonderful. Now, also attending this trip is Iowa Agriculture Secretary Bill Norvey. And Bill, are you with us this morning?
I am, Heather.
Well, hi, Mr. Norvey. How are you this morning?
Great.
Wonderful. Well, you know, what are some of your, key takeaways for this trip, Bill? And you definitely made several trips overseas to several different countries on behalf of Iowa agriculture. And, you know, what are there some key takeaways that you're going to have from this trip?
I think we always continue to test and understand what this market opportunity is. You know, China is such a huge part of the soybean demand for the United States, actually for the world, obviously, but for the United States and for Iowa, and continue to see if that growth is continuing. As Kirk had mentioned, from all indications and everyone that we talk to, these are not official government reports, but these are folks on the ground, will tell you that the industry continues to grow. And when you start doing 5 to 8% or some suggest even 10% in different places. You're talking about large increases on some pretty big numbers. So that takeaway of there's going to be growth here in that demand for soybean meal. The soybean oil part is important, but really this market is driven by soybean meal, as well as that opportunity to be able to talk to customers. And many of these folks have been to Iowa. They talk about coming back to Iowa. I think being able to be here and have conversations reminds them how important we believe this market is and how important their relationship with us is, and encourages them to come back. You know, the other thing that we do is we get actually promote Iowa soybeans as we talk about these soybeans going through the Northwest and the ability to actually source Iowa beans into China for those that could prefer that and would like to know who their customer or who their provider is. And so an opportunity to be able to not just promote U.S. in general, but Iowa in particular.
Excellent. Wonderful. And Grant, I know I kind of jumped ahead in our order there, but, you know, just as you are, Grant Kimberly, our Director of Market Development, you know, you are keeping an eye on the trade, an eye on the markets when you're here at the home office in Iowa. And is there anything that you're either seeing put into play or really happening there that you've been hearing about or anything new to share from your perceptions?
You know, I think it's just this trip, again, has just reconfirmed that demand remains very strong here, and it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future. I don't see this slowing down whatsoever anytime soon. And it seems like the Chinese have almost an insatiable appetite for whatever soybeans are produced in the world market, whether it's from the United States or South America. They will end up being the first one in line to purchase, and they're going to purchase whatever's available, whatever that amount is, it seems like. So, you know, and if you talk to the industry folks, again, they give you some projections that their industry projections, not the government line, but, you know, they're talking about, you know, moving from about 58 to 50 million metric tons of soybean imports this current year to, or last year, I mean, to over 80 million metric tons in the next 3 to 5 years, which, you know, that, if you put it in terms of bushels, that goes from about a 2.1 or 2.2 billion bushels worth of imports into China up to about 3 billion bushels worth of imports in the next 3 to 5 years. And so, you know, in next year alone, they're anticipating, you know, just up in that 65 million metric tons of soybean imports. So, I mean, I think that's just, again, it just amazes us when we see the amount of growth that's occurring over here. But there's a lot of mouths to feed, and there's a huge demand for meat in your diet, and they're needing soybeans to do that.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for getting this started here. And so now I'm going to open this up to our media friends who are on the line. And as you ask your question, I'd appreciate if you'd identify yourself and your station or your publication so we know who we're talking to, and I'll open that up now.
Yeah, this is Todd Neely with DTN, the Progressive Farmer in Nebraska. We want to ask about their impressions of the Chinese crush capacity. You know, we've seen reports that China had perhaps 50% excess capacity, which means they're either planning to crush many, many more beans or whatever the case may be. And there's also seemed to be, you know, a lot of talk from China about being self-sufficient in production, because since this excess capacity seems to be located near ports, that seems to kind of contradict what they've been saying. I just wondered, does ISA's leadership feel that this shift or this pattern, or that there is a shift in this pattern, and what's their take on the ground about this issue?
Well, Todd, this is Kirk Leeds. I'm not sure I got the second part of your question, but the first part, and then I'll let you follow up. Certainly, we continue to hear on this trip, as we have in previous trips, about the overcapacity that the Chinese crushing industry has. And you know, they're operating 50 to 60% of capacity. They have continue to build, although I would say on this trip, we haven't met anybody yet who said they're building a new plant, which is a little different because within previous trips we've been here and you'll visit different parts of China. Again, as you say, typically along the ports, particularly in the southern part of China, where somebody would build in a new facility because they think they can be more efficient and that they can more aggressively capture part of the market share by building new facilities. But we've not heard of any new expansion. We had a crusher that we talked to specifically about that. I think they have currently 10 crushing facilities in China, and they were not expecting to add additional crush facilities because they're well aware of that crush capacity. And one of the things that's very, very clear is that the Chinese government, in partnership with some of the China-owned companies, made a conscious decision a few years ago that they wanted to make sure that the beans were being processed by Chinese-owned entities as opposed to foreign-owned crushing facilities. So there was an overbuilding of facilities, in my opinion, in order to try to push out some of the foreign-owned crushing facilities in China. So certainly that overcapacity that you talked about is still here. So, Todd, what was the second part of your question?
Well, I just wondered, lately several ag ministers in China have softened their stances on imports, and I just wondered from the ground there if you're hearing anything about, whether this is a shift in pattern and whether, whether the Chinese have really embraced long-term soybean imports.
Yes, absolutely. Even many officials in the government now admit that, that China will not be able to come anywhere close to being self-sufficient in soybeans. If you looked at the soybean production, both in acres or hectares over here and overall total soybean production, it continues to fall at a pretty good clip. We're now, for example, Iowa produces more soybeans than the entire China countryside, which has been that way for a couple of years now. They anticipate both at the private companies that we talked to and the government companies or government organizations anticipate soybean production will continue to fall in China, that they will become more and more dependent. Corn's a little different story. There are still some in the government that believe that they can be self-sufficient in corn. We've had others, private sector folks who've told us that they anticipate one of the numbers that Grant has, that they expect to import in 5 years and be importing 30 million metric tons of corn within 5 years. You don't hear that from the government officials, but in the private sector, they believe they're going to have to import a significant quantity of corn as well.
This is Ken Anderson with Brownfield Radio Network. A lot of talk here this week about the problems that Brazil is having with port congestion and the cancellation of shipments by one of the leading soybean traders there in China. And I'm just wondering if you're hearing much discussion about that with the folks you're visiting with. Is that causing concerns there in China as far as their soybean supplies? And maybe does it have any long-term implications for soybean exports from the U.S.?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at that. This is Grant Kimberly again. That's a conversation that we've had with some of the industry folks here. And it's simply stated, it's a problem, they say. It's certainly a problem. It's hard to plan when you don't know when your deliveries are going to be making it. And so it's hard to run a soybean crush facility that way. And so what I think they're having to do is they are having to come back to the U.S. And also Argentina and other areas to continue to purchase soybeans longer into the marketing year than maybe they would have planned to do that in order to space that out, because we're hearing 60-day ship waiting periods in Brazil, and so that's a problem. And certainly there's been some rumors of cancellations out of Brazil, and some of that probably is real. Some of that might just be where it is real, but the particular buyer maybe wanted to do that to see if they could repurchase at a lower price. There's probably a little bit of that that goes on too. There's no doubt about it. But I'm sure that we will see that they'll have to continue to be buying more from the U.S. later in the marketing year than probably what most people are anticipating because of the major delays and problems that they've built. So it is a major concern.
This is Kirk. Let me just follow up. One of the messages that we always deliver to our Chinese friends and customers is that the U.S. is the most reliable supplier of quality soybeans in the world. And quite honestly, not wanting to take advantage of our friends in South America, but the continued difficulties they're having, not only with infrastructure, but with government unrest and labor unrest, is certainly beneficial to the U.S. soybean industry, because when you buy soybeans from the U.S., they're shipped on time and get what you pay for, and that's certainly a huge advantage to have in this market.
I think, and this is Bill Norley, I think it also reminds us about how important it is for us to invest in infrastructure as well. If we look ahead and say that this market's going to grow from 60 to 80 million metric tons of soybeans, not all of which obviously be coming from the U.S., and 30 million metric tons of corn, much of which probably will be coming from the U.S., but can come from other places as well. We need to make sure our infrastructure is such that we can deliver that on time, very dependable. That is an advantage that we have, so that especially in these transition times between buying from the U.S. and buying from South America, and when it reverses again in the fall once our crop comes on, we need to be able to be very dependable, very predictable. And so we are, but we need to continue investing in that infrastructure in the U.S.